Welcome to Overseer. My name's Greg Horn, and we are continuing our conversation with Jeremiah Johnson. He is an author and a pastor up at Grace Point Church in Georgetown, Kentucky, and shared his powerful testimony yesterday, how he went from being addicted to drugs, alcohol, and a strong atheist to surrendering his one and only life to Jesus, and just a great story of how God spoke to him and pursued him. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and check out that 14-minute conversation. It was really, really powerful. Also talked about God's grace. You would be blessed. So check that out at hopeishere.today. Today we're going to talk about Jeremiah's new book. It's called His Love to Us and Through Us, and I was fortunate to get a copy from a friend of mine, John Pearson, who blessed me with it, and man, it was one of those I just couldn't put down, because you talked about God's love for us. We talked about grace yesterday, but God really does love his kids, doesn't he, Jeremiah?
Yes, he does.
So talk to me, why did you decide to write this book, His Love to Us and Through Us?
Well, you know, the Bible says that when we believe in the love of God, when we know the love of Christ, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And so if our goal is to represent him and be filled with him in the earth, then us believing in that love should be a priority. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the things that that people are challenged with, is really believing that God loves them, because they know the mistakes they've made, they know their challenges. And so I think a lot of times people live in a state of feeling as if God tolerates us, but at the end of the day, he's really just kind of disappointed in us. Mm. And that type of background really sets the stage for a very twisted relationship with God as a father. If anyone out there has had a relationship with someone where they didn't feel like they were good enough and they didn't feel like they were worthy, it really kind of sets up a dynamic of performance. Like, you don't really feel like you can be yourself around someone that you don't feel like you're good enough for. So you develop a mask to please them and hide behind that mask, and really, at the end of the day, feel very lonely and unworthy behind that mask. And the dynamic of that type of relationship, what ends up happening is you don't really draw close to the person, and you don't really find out who you are. You just spend your days behind a mask. And that's really what the true biblical definition of hypocrisy is. It's play acting. It's wearing a mask. And so the love of God comes and says, I want what's behind the mask. I want you. I love you. I died for you. You know, I know your mistakes. I paid for all of them, you know, and they're paid in full. And so as we sit together at this table or in life, I have taken all debt of sin from off of you, and I look at you as the child that I created you to be before you were born, before this world got a hold of you, for things messed you up, for things broke your heart, and I love you. And so that is the primary message of the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God is love. He is. It's what he's made of, right? And so but here's the thing, you're only going to enjoy what you believe. You're not going to enjoy what you don't believe. You're only going to enjoy what you believe. You know, if we go out to eat with a bunch of people and take everybody to the buffet and say, okay, and I pay for it, and we all sit down and we're all getting ready to eat, and half the people get up to go eat and the other half stay seated, you know, and I come up to the people that are seated and say, hey, what's up? Why aren't you guys eating? I'm just not sure you paid. No, I paid. But no, I didn't see you pay. No, I promise I paid. I'm just not sure. I mean, you know, the buffet's there for all. But only those who believe will eat.
Yes, sir.
And God's love is the most powerful thing that we can bring into our lives, because he loves us. He's not disappointed in us. He's given us a complete and total forgiveness. And our sins and lawless deeds he remembers no more, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. And so the cross was a victory. It was a success. And it's the display of God's love. And so as we receive that love and believe that love, we get filled with all the fullness of God. And it's a continual thing. It's not a head knowledge thing. It's something that we need to get down into our hearts, because we've lived our lives being taken advantage of, being used, being abused, even by people in the church. And what ends up happening is, a lot of times we can be very skeptical towards a concept of love, and certainly a concept of unconditional love. But God's intention is he wants to love you so much that it fills up your cup and then becomes an overflow. Mm-hmm. Because God's intention is to not just love you, but to love through you.
Yes.
And you cannot give away what you don't have.
Mm, go ahead.
And so it always begins by you receiving. And that's why in 1 John chapter 4, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And so that's the beginning portion of the book, is understanding that love, receiving that love. But then, you know, this river of love, it's got a path. It's going to come to you, and it's going to go through you into your spouse, into your kids, into your friends, into the workplace. And because ultimately, when people have an encounter with love, that's when they have an encounter with God, and that's when their lives are changed. And we are at our happiest moments. We are at our best when we are being loved and loving, because it's the only time we're set free from ourselves. Because fear makes us self-conscious, makes us think about ourselves. God wants you to be free from that. He said, I'm going to love you so strong that my love's going to flow through you into other people's lives. And then you're not just going to be surviving. You're going to be living.
Mm. So, amen. Well, I love that you explain that so well in your book. And in chapter 3, you use that verse there from 1 John 14 about we love him because he loved us. And you shared how it completely changed your life. And one of the things you and I were sharing before we went on the air here is that in my 16 years of ministry, I have found that people are harder on themselves. Yeah. Than God is.
Yes, sir.
And so you can't really give love to others if you don't really know how much you're loved by God, can
you? That's
right.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's huge.
And you talked about letting God love you. What are some of the ways that people, as they're listening, how do I let God just love me? How what would you say to people on that journey?
Okay. Well, I think that, number one, you got to personalize it. I think, you know, people recognize John 3:16, and then they immediately think, well, God loves everybody. And, you know, the sun shines everywhere, but it's the magnifying glass that starts the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it does is it takes the rays and it brings them into a place of concentration. And so you have to recognize God loves you, you know, and he loves you just the way you are.
Not when you're perfect, because not that we can be that. But
yeah.
I think that's a lie the enemy uses a lot.
Big time. He loves you just the way you are. Not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be.
Mm.
And that's Brennan Manning. That's a Brennan Manning quote.
Yeah.
But that reality right there, you have to personalize it. And then you also have to render that the cross was a success. It always comes back to the cross. And because it's difficult for you to believe someone loves you if you think that they're holding something against you and you're not forgiven. You're going to have to settle within your heart that Jesus did a great job on the cross and that you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Because if you don't believe that, it's going to be difficult for you to draw near to a God that loves you if you feel like he's angry with you or against you or any of these things. So I think you got to personalize it. You got to recognize that the cross was a success and that you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Big deal. And that also, and then really at that point, it's like allowing the sun to shine on you. You know, you get a tan because you go out and you spend time in the sun. The love of God becomes a reality in your life as you allow preaching and teaching and simply the gospel coming from a heart of love, just shining Jesus on you. You don't have to understand it all. Just get around it. Allow it to be sown into your heart as a seed. And I think that is paramount, because we have to renew our minds, because we spent so much time being unloved that we have to learn how to be loved. So, yeah.
Well, I love that you talk in your book about the seed. You talked a little bit in the first program about how a high school teacher, I believe, planted a seed. But talk a little bit about that. You talked about how love is a seed in your book.
Okay. Well, once again, I think that, you know, there's something very powerful about taking scripture and just allowing it to come into your heart and come into your life, and doing it from the context of love, you know, because the thing about everybody out here who's listening, I'm sure you've had a time when you had a text that was sent to you or you sent that was misunderstood.
Oh, yeah.
Easy to do, right? I'm sure many arguments have happened as a result of a text, because it is, at the end of the day, kind of a poor form of communication, because you don't know why something's being said the way it's being said. So we have a text, a large text from God called the Bible, And it can be read from the right spirit, and it can be read from the wrong spirit. So, Greg, I'm going to say a couple words to you right now, and I'm going to say it one way, then I'm going to say it the other way. You know, if I come to you and I say, I love you, those words are strengthening, those words are edifying, those words are encouraging. Now, if I take those same words and say it from a different spirit, I love you, same words, different spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible should be preached from a perspective of, I love you. Not a perspective of, I love you, but I love you. And so we must have preaching and teaching from the perspective that God loves us. Because that's what the Bible says. And so when we must hear messages that are drenched in love, based in love, if we want it to become a reality in our personal lives. Now, not saying there's an absence of correction. Good fathers lovingly correct their children. Why? If you're going the wrong way, I want to help you go the right way.
Yeah.
But that correction does not come from the standpoint of condemnation. It does not come from the standpoint of attacking your character or identity. It comes from the standpoint of, I love you and I want to help you. So, but the message of this text is, I love you.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Amen. You know, one of the things, Jeremiah, I've seen is, you know, and followers of Jesus, they're Christians, their salvation, you know, intact, but sometimes we give out of with expectations. And, you know, I've matured in my relationship with Jesus, I have to realize I'm not doing this when I say I'm expressing love, but I actually have an expectation. The way God wants us to love, there's not expectations, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, you can only give an unconditional love if you can receive an unconditional love. And so, you know, God gives an unconditional love, you know. And so what that means, and that's where grace comes in again, because it's unmerited, it's undeserved, right? And so when I understand that he loves me that way, and that's what's deposited in my heart, then I can give it that way. I can be gracious to people who are not gracious to me. I can be kind to people who are not kind to me. I can pray for my enemies. I can love my enemies because I've received something that I didn't earn and I didn't deserve.
Yeah.
But legalism sets the stage for debt transactional love. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine.
Yeah.
That's not agape. Yeah. That's not God's kind of love. You follow me?
Amen.
When we think we have that type of relationship with God, then that causes us to have that type of relationship with other people. And legalism ultimately breaks down relationships because it becomes a transaction, almost like a job. And God says, no, 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 no. I love you when you don't deserve it. So I want you to love people when they don't deserve it. And watch the power of that love in your life and in their life.
Amen. Wow, we've had a powerful time here. I'm going to ask Jeremiah to close us in prayer, but I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, His Love to Us and Through Us by Jeremiah Johnson. Check him out on social media, Facebook, Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, Twitter. I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. It'll really get your tank filled. Check out his website, jjm.life. That's jjm.life. We've got about 30 seconds left. Jeremiah, would you mind closing us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, I just thank you for everybody that's listening right now, Spirit of God, that you would just drop on them and reveal to them how much you love them, Lord, that you've loved them with an everlasting love and with your loving kindness, you've been drawing them. And Lord, they may even be saved. They may even know you, Lord, but they don't know how much you love them. And I thank you, Lord, that you just make that real to them in a special way that only they can receive. Lord, you sign your name to it. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, we've had a great time with Jeremiah Johnson. He's also a pastor at Grace Point Church in Georgetown, Kentucky. What time is your services on Sunday?
10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m. So check out Grace Point Church in Georgetown, Kentucky, Jeremiah Johnson, or check out his website, jjm.life. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
If you've been blessed by Hope Is Here Ministries this year, would you consider making a year-end donation? To make a donation, go to their website, hopeishere.today, where you can make a secure online donation. Or if you prefer to write a check, the mailing address is also listed on the website. Please make your check to Hope Is Here Ministries and mail by December 31st. All your donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today. Thank you for listening and happy holidays.